Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look that way? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. Whether it's a door that sticks, or a disorganized closet, or an AC unit that only works half the time. It all matters. You just haven't taken care of it yet. But there's an easier way. Just download the Thumbtack app. You can search for what you need done and find tons of highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Check prices, reviews, and book a pro right on the spot. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. Pull out your phone and in just a few taps, say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
Look around. What do you see? Cars, lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on Auto Trader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on Auto Trader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. It's Tuesday, July 16th. It's been that way all damn day. And I'm going to be with you hanging out for the next 4 hours. This is when the show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, I hope you're well. I hope you're safe. All of that good stuff. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to super producer and host Ryan Hickey is holding it down for us in New York City. I hope you had a good day. I hope you had a better night, a better day than the lady that sang the national anthem last night. Before the home run derby. Oh, we got a reason why she sang so terribly. Some people can relate. Anyway, we'll get into that in a bit. Also, SEC Media Day. Kirby Smart spoke. He has some things to say about all these Georgia players driving around crazy. Also had some thoughts on, well, people calling him the next Nick Saban? Okay. All right, that's some big shoes to fill. Think about Jaylen Brown having to defend himself about some comments that he might have made, probably made, about Bronny James, who has yet to hit a three-pointer. Brandon Ayuk, he wants to be traded. He wants to be gone from the 49ers. What a shock, right? All the complaining on social media didn't work. Might as well, make my grievances formal. In public, MLB All-Star Game is tonight in Arlington. Last night was the home run derby. That's the appetizer. Tonight is the main course. Paul Skeens is going to be on the mound opposing Corbin Burns. Still trying to get used to this guy, being a member of the Baltimore Orioles, but what are you going to do? I'm hoping that Paul Skeens opposes Aaron Judge. That's the matchup that everybody wants to see. And knowing baseball, will probably get screwed out of it. We just have to wait. And take some time. We have some guests that are going to come through and join us as well. Ari Mayrov is going to come through to talk some NFL football, including Brandon Ayuk's trade request. We got a couple of Chicago Bear rookies who have their new contracts signed, sealed, and delivered. We're talking about Roma Dunze and also Caleb Williams. And then, how about this? In about 15, 20 minutes from now, Brad Crawford is going to come through and chat with us because Brad, he's out at SEC Media Day. And so not only do I get to ask him about Kirby Smart, I can also, you know, ask him about Mr. Kiffin. I can ask him about Texas and Oklahoma. And so, and even the comments yesterday by Commissioner Sankey, he's like, listen, I'm no recruit. I'm not trying to snatch up the ACC teams. I'm not trying to get in trouble. I'm staying away from that. And so we'll have that conversation in about 15 to 20 minutes. A lot going on. If you want to participate in the show, it is real simple. The phone number is here. It's 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can also find me online. I'm everywhere on the internet. I am at JR Sport Brief. That's at JR Sport Brief everywhere on social media. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local affiliate, SiriusXM 158, and a smart speaker if you have one. Ryan Hickey, how you, man? You good?
I am good. I'm actually very excited for tonight's All-Star game. Usually I don't really care, but I mean, there's like real excitement to see how Paul Skeens pitches. I'm looking forward to it.
Is that all you're excited to see?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I'll be in the same boat. You know, we're not in the same city, in the same studio, but we're in different studios with screens in front of us. We're going to be watching the same damn thing. What majority of America, probably the majority, because who's sitting around through the whole thing? The majority of people are going to tune in. How long you think they'll stick around? Two or three innings, if that?
Maybe you get to the fifth or the sixth. You know, the game starts at 8, so maybe if you go to bed on the East Coast around 10.
Wow.
You know, do you start to nod off maybe the fifth or sixth inning when, you know, you really start getting deep into the reserves?
If both you and I have interest in seeing Skeens pitch and then nothing after that, I mean, bruh, I got no choice. The screen is right in front of me. It's right in front of me. I would have turned it off if I wasn't standing here, Hickey. Come on, man. I'm just being honest. I'm lying. I'd probably watch more of the game, but there's nothing else that I want to see. There's no back-end closer that I want to watch at the end of the game. There's no slugger that I'm like, oh, my God. You know, to be honest, I also feel that we've hit peak Shohei Ohtani. Like, when has anybody said anything about Shohei Ohtani this year besides, you know, getting robbed by his interpreter? It's like, Shohei Ohtani, okay, we're used to it. It's normal. We know he's not pitching this year. The guy's numbers are stupid. 316, 29 home runs, and 69 RBIs. Between him and Aaron Judge, it's just like, all right, whatever. That's it. There's nothing of interest. Zero, zip, zilch. I'm just being real. And so last night, let's also be real about this. I'm not an advocate for anybody losing their job, not at all. But I know there were some emails flowing last night. Well, speaking of flowing, there were emails flowing. There were calls that were going off about the national anthem. And we'll get to that in a second because we all know and have heard about that disaster. But when the national anthem is a bigger story than the actual event, that ain't good. I know Major League Baseball decided to switch things up for the Home Run Derby. They wanted to eliminate the head-to-head matchups at the beginning rounds and because it wasn't fair. Maybe two guys were bracketed together and they sucked and one advances and then you got two other guys that hit 50 bombs each. One guy has to leave and other guys advance. It makes no sense. And so they just had this big old open field, 8 players out of the gate. Whoever hits the most home runs out of the top 4, they advance. There was no Pete Alonso advancing as he tried to tie Ken Griffey Jr. for the most home run derby leads of all time. He didn't do that. This man, Pete Alonso, he was gone. He had 12 home runs out the gate. That's it. Nothing. We move forward. Alec Bohm had 15. Teoscar Hernandez had 16. Bobby Witt Jr., people are fond about him. Jose Ramirez was there. And then it boiled down to a final of Teoscar Hernandez and Bobby Witt Jr. This is not Ken Griffey Jr. versus, I don't know, Rafael Palmeiro. These are new names. And to be quite frank and to be honest, how many people have ever heard Teoscar Hernandez speak? He had 14 home runs in the final round against Bobby Witt Jr., 14-3, and he wins the home run derby. And that's it. Teoscar Hernandez's past couple of years, I've had to go, where's he playing now? He could put up numbers, 25, 30 home runs, driving 80, 90. I don't know where he's at. Now he's a Dodger? Good. Seattle, Toronto, like fill in the blanks. Teoscar Hernandez, past couple of seasons, been a journeyman. This is who wins the home run derby? All right, whatever. Listen to him after the game. He listened to his confidence. He talked about how confident he was about winning the thing.
People maybe underestimate myself. And you can see it at the end when Will was hitting all those homers. Everybody was cheering for him. I'm here, and I'm as talented as all those guys over there. They might be younger, but same talent.
That's fine, man. But you see, Hickey, I love how every athlete has a chip on their shoulder, as they should, right? Nobody.
Even in something like this, right?
Yeah, but nobody even knows what he sounds like. This is the first, Hickey, that's the first time I ever heard the man speak. Ever. Have you heard that man speak before?
I can't pretend like I have, no.
We're rooting. Well, we know about you, but we don't know who you are, man. Come on. A solid player. He continued on. Let's get as much Teoscar Hernandez audio as possible. Because quite frankly, this might be the last time that we talk about him all year long, unless he does something amazing in the World Series if the Dodgers get there. Listen to Teoscar Hernandez talk about what was going on through his mind at the end of the home run derby.
Oh man, I was nervous. Not when I see that ball, the last one, when he still got two outs and one homer to tie with me. And then the last shot that he got, it was a little like too close to tie, but thank God it didn't went out. So super happy.
Good for him, man. Good for him. I got no problem with him winning the home run derby. This is also quite interesting. He's the first Dodger to ever win the home run derby. And it's still that even saying that sounds odd. Yes, he puts on a Dodgers uniform. Nobody wakes up and thinks Dodgers and goes, oh, Teoscar Hernandez. Nobody's thinking about that. I mean, how many Teoscar Hernandez jerseys are in, you know, Dodger Stadium? Like three, maybe? Everybody's wearing Mookie, Freeman, Otani, Kershaw. People are wearing old jerseys from years ago. Teoscar, congratulations on winning the home run derby. It wasn't all that exciting. And granted, yeah, I was sitting in the studio doing the show. But then even when I left here and I was able to get home and put it on in the background, I'm just like, what is this? Like, Teoscar Hernandez and Bobby's not winning. All right, fine, whatever. And called it a day. I'm just waiting on Paul Skeens. I'm waiting on Paul Skeens to step out onto the mound. And I'm waiting to see if he gets a guy on base so we can get the matchup that everybody wants to see. The matchup that everybody wants to see is Skeens versus Aaron Judge. We'll see if we get that soon enough. Hickey, what time do they say this game is going to start?
8 o'clock Eastern.
Okay. So first pitch is going to be what, 8:30?
No, Fox, to their credit, is usually pretty good. I will say first pitch is no later than 8:11.
Wow. When are they going to start the pageantry of the introductions and what is hopefully a better national anthem? They're going to start that before the 8 o'clock, 5 o'clock hour?
I hope so, to be right. I mean, if not, we could be here for a while. You're going to be looking pretty right there about 8:30, maybe even 8:45.
You know, I'm not really a betting man. I will bet that tonight's national anthem is better than the garbage from yesterday.
I would agree. I don't think it could be worse.
It could be, but it's highly unlikely that it's worse. We have a male country singer who's going to perform the anthem. And as it took place live, not too long after this woman, Ingrid Andress, performed it, we had the benefit of being able to share it with you live on the air. And the responses were what we all expected them to be. What the hell was that? What is her problem? Like, did she have a bad sound check? Was her monitor off? Is this a joke? In my brain, I had to go, she's doing this on purpose. Like, something has to be wrong because nobody wants to intentionally sound this awful. You need a reminder? Here, take a listen last night from ESPN. After this, I think we're done playing this crap.
That our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the
Okay. Hickey, you agree? We don't ever have to play that again?
Thankfully, I think you're right.
Yeah. Maybe sometime in the future, way, way into the future for reference, but maybe not. Probably not. No time soon. Anyway, we got an explanation. This afternoon, she decided to break her social media silence. This is what she said. I'm not going to BS y'all. I was drunk last night. I'm checking myself into a facility today to get the help I need. That was not me last night. I apologize to Major League Baseball, all the fans, and this country I love so much for that rendition. I'll let y'all know how rehab is. I hear it's super fun. Signed, Ingrid. XO Ingrid. Oh, come on now. All right. Well, Hickey, there's the explanation. She was a little lit, a little too toe up before she reached the microphone.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because it's obviously, in a way, nice to get some sort of explanation as to what was going on. It's also, obviously, at the same time, sad because it seems like there's a real problem there. It's good that she's getting help, but it's, in a weird way, almost mixed emotions, if that can make sense.
Mm. Why?
Well, like I said, it's nice to have some sort of explanation as to why. Like, she's been Grammy-nominated, so she's not a bad singer. MLB, for all the, you know, the bad decisions they make, they're not, I don't think that's stupid to put someone out there, you know, on a big stage like this that couldn't handle it or just was not a good singer. But clearly what we heard, something was very wrong and very off. So, like, it's in a way, like, it's nice to have an explanation of, okay, this is why it was so bad. She was under the influence. But at the same time, like, that reason is also sad because it's a big problem, and clearly it's bad enough where she's getting help. It's obviously good she's getting help, but bad enough that she had to embarrass herself on this big stage in order for, you know, kind of reach rock bottom. Well, so that's why, at least for me, it's kind of like both ways, if that makes sense.
Well, maybe she was just, I don't know, drunk. That's it. Maybe, well, I guess to go to rehab, I guess you do have to have a problem, right? I guess.
That's what I'm assuming. Yeah.
It's not like a one-off situation, I guess. We don't know. I don't know. This much I know. There's a very good chance that she got a private car from the hotel to the stadium for sound check. I'm pretty sure she sat in a room, a very nice green room in the back, with food, alcohol, and a bar. I don't know how long she sat around, but she sat around long enough to have quite a few things to drink and to give us what was probably the worst national anthem rendition ever. No disrespect to Roseanne, who did a terrible job, or maybe even Fergie. But what that woman did last night was god-awful. I wonder how much booze Major League Baseball has in the green rooms today. Maybe none. Maybe she snuck in the beer. I doubt it, but listen, if you got a problem and you like to drink, you're going to find that alcohol. And good luck to Ingrid. That was more talked about than the actual home run derby. Congratulations, baseball. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We have a lot to talk about. Brandon Ayuk's formal trade request. Jaylen Brown is saying Bronny James is not a pro, or is he saying Bronny James is going to be great? I know one thing we're going to discuss, and we'll do it on the other side. We're going to be joined by Brad Crawford from CBS Sports and 24/7 Sports to talk about SEC Media Day, because college football is soon to be upon us. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look that way? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. Whether it's a door that sticks, or a disorganized closet, or an AC unit that only works half the time, it all matters. You just haven't taken care of it yet. But there's an easier way. Just download the Thumbtack app. You can search for what you need done and find tons of highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Check prices, reviews, and book a pro right on the spot. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. Pull out your phone, and in just a few taps, say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects, and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, coast to coast. Yeah, Major League Baseball is getting ready for its Midsummer Classic out in Arlington. There's something else going on. Close by, real close. SEC. I can't even call it Media Day. Might as well be Media Week. We got some new teams in the SEC. We have some potential new teams coming on down the line that the commissioner doesn't want to talk about. We have a coach that is expected to sit upon the throne vacated by Nick Saban. There's a lot going on. To discuss everything going on SEC, right now we're being joined by Brad Crawford, who covers all things college football and SEC for 24/7 Sports as well as CBS Sports. Brad, how are you, man?
Thanks for having me, man. It's been a busy first 2 days here in Dallas. I'm actually flying home tomorrow evening. So after Kalen DeBoer and the rest of the guys talk tomorrow, I'll be back home in the Carolinas.
Yeah, I certainly hear that and understand. You talk about it, I talk about it. There's a full slate here throughout the course of the week. Obviously, we heard the comments by Greg Sankey yesterday. We heard Brian Kelly. Today we got Kirby Smart. In the first 2 days, has anything stood out to you out of anybody's mouth?
Yeah, nothing too surprising, but Shane Beamer, head coach at South Carolina, he was sort of politicking for his job in the main room, and us local media members who've talked to him throughout the offseason, he hasn't really had that sound flash approach. So it was kind of interesting to hear him, you know, talk about how much he loved the Gamecocks and loved coaching in Columbia. I mean, I didn't think he was on the hot seat until hearing those comments yesterday.
Well, when you think about the sub 500 record last year,
Nothing
went up. Do you think he got an edict that he needs to turn things around before he showed up yesterday?
Yeah, possibly so, man. You know, the win total right now is 5.5. Gamecocks face one of the nation's toughest schedules. Certainly not as hard as what Florida and Oklahoma are going to face in ACC play this year, but I just find it interesting that year four for Shane Beamer, it seems like he has several must wins early on that schedule.
Yeah, Tom flies. I feel like he just showed up. Brad Crawford is joining us, courtesy of CBS Sports and 24/7 Sports. We know one guy who is not worried about his job. He ain't worried about nothing. Is a guy that spoke today, and that's Kirby Smart. I understand that he had to spend a lot of time talking about a lot of the vehicular distractions that take place down here in Georgia. Was there anything else of note, or did that really dominate the conversation?
Yeah, it really did dominate. He got a bunch of softball questions in the main room, but after we, you know, spoke to Kirby in the breakout rooms and on radio several times, he was kind of peppered with questions. You know, what are you doing to stop all this DUI and street racing and Hellcat nonsense going on in Athens? And, you know, he sort of alluded to a lot of these players' NIL deals are now being cut back a bit when they get arrested or suspended. So I find it very interesting, man, that, you know, the disciplinary actions that Georgia's taking right now, you know, perhaps may curtail some of this stuff in the future. But, I mean, right now, man, the last couple off seasons, Kirby Smart just, you know, cannot keep these guys off the road late at night. And it's certainly putting other lives in danger.
And most definitely, Brad Crawford is joining us, covers the SEC for CBS and 24/7 Sports. Well, now that Nick Saban is gone, Kirby Smart has really been elevated into being the bell of the ball here when it comes down to coaches in the SEC. We also know that Brian Kelly, after what looked like a rocky start at the beginning, everything from his accent to some of the early performance, it seems like LSU is kind of nipping at their tails to continue to improve. What are your thoughts on, you know, Kirby Smart's standing as well as Brian Kelly's?
Yeah, if Brian Kelly finds a way to win a season opener at LSU, you know, he's going to be pretty good. Back-to-back double-digit win seasons, but he's lost to Florida State twice. He plays Southern Cal in a few weeks in Las Vegas. He wins that game, you know, that's a win that in his back pocket he might can take to the playoff this year. But obviously three first-round picks going from LSU on offense, Jaden Daniels, two first-round wideouts. They feel pretty good about what they got there, though, with Garrett Nussmeier and a couple guys in the transfer portal. But the million-dollar question in Baton Rouge is, will that secondary be better? I mean, it was one of the worst in program history last fall. You know, he went and swiped Missouri's top assistant coach and Blake Baker to call his defense there at LSU. So Brian Kelly's certainly a coach that, you know, has not won a national championship yet, but he has been knocking on the door at Notre Dame and now at LSU. So I see LSU as a team that, just like Georgia, just like Texas and Ole Miss, is part of that four- or five-team mix that could certainly be in playoff contention.
And most certainly. You talk about Texas. And I'm going to get into one of their backup quarterbacks in a second. Yeah. You think about all the points that they've been able to put up and even some good showings last year. For both Texas and Oklahoma, what do you think this transition is going to look like full-time as a part of the SEC?
Yeah, I think in year one, Texas is better suited to handle this tough schedule and certainly get to the playoffs. It's going to be very tough for Oklahoma, man. Their offensive line is brand new. They have some veterans on the other side of the ball, but they've got a first-year starting quarterback. And Texas has a quarterback in Quinn Ewers who has held off Arch Manning back-to-back off seasons, and now, you know, he's going to be essentially a three-year starter with the Longhorns. So I like Texas over OU right now as far as the newcomers in the SEC. But Oklahoma's a team that, you know, as long as Brent Venables can sustain top 10 recruiting classes, Oklahoma's NIL game is strong, just like Texas, and that's what you need in new college football, and NIL boosters and everything in between.
And Brad Crawford is here with us, covers the SEC for CBS and 24/7 Sports. I want to get back to the NIL in a second. You mentioned Arch Manning. What does Sark have specifically in the water? What's going on in Austin that a guy like Manning, Arch, is just saying, I'm going to stick around and be a backup instead of taking big money somewhere else?
Yeah, I think he feels pretty good about his NIL situation. Of course, you know, none of those figures have really been uncovered. A lot of them have been projected, but I'm sure he's getting, you know, at least $1.5 to $2 million to even be a backup quarterback this season, which is more money than most Power 5 elite starters get. And like you said, somehow Sark has convinced Arch to, you know, stay put on the 40 acres. I do think he's going to play this season, but Sark's made it clear throughout the offseason that this is Quinn Ewers' team, and barring injury or a short lease for playing bad, you know, Ewers is going to be the guy that leads them to the playoff. But, yeah, I mean, if I'm Arch Manning, I feel confident that 2025, you know, I'm the guy at Texas, and in 2026 I'm a first-round pick.
Well, we'll hear from Sark and Quinn Ewers tomorrow as Texas steps to the podium and steps to the room. Somebody else who's going to be making his debut, SEC Media Day, Kalen DeBoer is going from the Pacific Northwest, makes his way down here to the South. He still comes back, or at least Jalen Milroe comes back. What is your outlook for Alabama with all the changes, especially the biggest change in the room? Nick Saban is now in the media and not coaching.
Yeah, I tell you what, a few months ago I actually had Alabama outside of my projected preseason playoff, but with the last three commits they've gotten these last couple of weeks, man, all five stars, couple wideouts and an offensive tackle, Kalen DeBoer is cleaning up, and it's clear to me in Tuscaloosa that there are some big-time boosters who are already backing this first-year coach. I think expectations obviously are going to be quite lofty. You know, they're higher than most programs at Alabama than others, but based on what Kalen DeBoer was able to do last year with not nearly as much talent as he's going to have year after year in the SEC, I think it was a great hire. Alabama pretty much had their pick of elite head coaches, and, you know, they felt pretty good, the power brass there, in getting Kalen DeBoer, and so far so good. But, you know, we'll know early in September with games against Wisconsin and Georgia and Texas on the schedule just how good Alabama really is.
And Brad Crawford covers the SEC. Well, you talk about the changes down in Alabama. I'm real interested to see what Jalen Milroe does. His second full year as a starter. You talked about Jaden Daniels now gone into the NFL. He came out of nowhere after having to spend time up at Arizona State. Are there other players that we should look out for in general in the SEC? Anybody that may be under the radar that's posed or primed for an explosion?
Yeah, under the radar players is tough because with the expanded playoff, I mean, we're talking about 8 or 9 teams that have legitimate, you know, playoff expectations. Obviously, the SEC is probably going to get 3 or 4 teams in that 12-team mix. All 8 aren't going to get there. But this is the first time in, you know, 12 years of myself covering the conference that I really feel that down the middle there's a legit number of national title contenders. I think Jackson Dart, though, Ole Miss quarterback, a lot of us, including myself, have had him maybe 3 or 4 top quarterback in the SEC. After seeing how confident he was this week in Dallas, and, you know, hearing Lane Kiffin speak so highly of him, I mean, there's a chance he has a 40-touchdown pass season, and Ole Miss is in the playoff as one of the top seeds. So I think Jackson Dart's a guy that maybe he's not getting 2025 first-round buzz right now, but he could certainly be there in a few months.
You mentioned Lane Kiffin. We saw him conducting some interviews. He obviously, his dad passed away last week, a legend. How was he, all things considered? I mean, people gave him a break, let him show up and leave and mind his business.
He was a bit subdued, man, compared to most years. He didn't quite seem as loose as he's been, you know, in Atlanta and Nashville and other places that we've held media days. But, I mean, I do think that this is the best team that Ole Miss has ever had on paper. A lot of the rumblings here are Lane Kiffin is eyeing other jobs if he does make the playoff this season at Ole Miss. So, you know, don't be surprised that if Florida has a vacancy in late November and, you know, Billy Napier gets the boot, Lane Kiffin's one of those hot board 1.0 names that, you know, services in Gainesville.
Well, you talk about getting the boot. We heard this. This is probably the biggest news that came out of Media Day yesterday. Greg Sankey, the commissioner, wanted to put his foot down and put his hand on the table real fast and say, listen, I ain't recruiting nobody. I know who just came in. I ain't thinking about who might come in. What do you think is realistic when it comes to potential expansion? Are we talking a few years? Are we talking television contracts further out? What makes that viable to bring in a Clemson or a Florida State?
Yeah, to put it bluntly, Greg Sankey is essentially ESPN, SEC Network, all the cable providers' mouthpiece. And, you know, he's going to go where the money is, where the TV contracts tell him to. I mean, the SEC right now might not be actively trying to acquire Florida State and Clemson, but if the ACC does deteriorate, like we saw the Pac-12 happen these last couple realignment cycles, then Florida State and Clemson would you know, certainly be SEC-type additions. I think the Big 12, you know, we heard Brett Yormark, the commissioner there, the Big 12 mentioned last week that, you know, we're still open for business. So perhaps they're trying to get in front of the SEC and Big Ten and swipe up the Noles and the Tigers. That would be a headline that would dominate here in Dallas if that were to break this week.
Yeah, well, if that break, do you expect that to break this week? You think?
I don't think it will, man. Yeah.
Okay, I was about to say, I'm like, what, are you getting ready to break some news here, Brad? I have to think about that.
Yeah, but it would make sense for me. You know, the Big 12 right now is the only conference that has explored private equity firms, and that means more money. And more money is exactly what FSU and Clemson have been looking for. And right now the SEC and Big Ten say, you know, we don't have enough money for you. So if the Big 12 is able to split revenue not evenly and give FSU and Clemson a bigger share of the pie compared to, you know, the Utahs and Oklahoma States of the world, then the Noles and Tigers would certainly welcome that with open arms.
Well, you know, last question for you. I know myself and everybody here in Georgia, we were disappointed after the loss last year to Alabama, basically gave us the boot. And it's just like, oh, we can't even come back and defend a championship. What do you think about this expanded playoff? It takes some of the drama out. It takes some of the guesswork. And you put in some teams that probably might on the back end potentially could get smashed if it's not a blowout. What are your thoughts on this expansion?
Yeah, I was talking to a Texas Longhorns insider today, and I've got Texas 11-1 the regular season. And being 11-0 going to College Station, and then that rivalry game essentially not meaning much because Texas will already have a spot in the SEC title game wrapped up, and a loss doesn't mean anything. Now, you go back to last year, I still think Georgia was one of the best four teams in the country. I mean, they lost by 3 points to Bama on a neutral field, and then they beat Florida State by 60 points and proved that they were one of the elite teams still. But I don't know, man. I think college football playoff expansion was solely a money grab. I think it gives more teams invites to the dance, but we're not going to see, you know, the Liberties and the Ole Misses actually win national championships. They might get to the playoff, but then you've got to beat, you know, three or four straight top 10 teams, and it's just not happening. They don't have the depth that the Georgias, the Bamas, the Ohio States do. So I think over the next 20 years, if we see further playoff expansion, we're still going to see the same dozen or so teams in the mix.
Oh, don't even say further. Don't say that, Brad. Don't say that.
Oh, it's going to happen, man.
God knows we don't need more teams, like more.
We're going to get to 16 and then 24. I mean, it's, yeah.
Oh, my God. All right, okay, little mini ridiculous March madness, winter madness for college football. That sounds stupid to me. Hey, Brad, amazing work. Appreciate your insight. Where can people follow you and all of your work with CBS and 24/7?
Yeah, really appreciate it, man. B Crawford 247 on X and Instagram, and I'm on the front page of both of our sites. Appreciate you.
And look forward to chatting with you down the line. And safe travels, okay?
Thank you.
No doubt about it. Great insights from Brad Crawford. He hurt my soul a little bit. Realistic further expansion of the college football playoff? We didn't need the expansion that we have right now. Come on. We're going to talk more about this on the other side of the break. You know what? Let's actually hear from Kirby Smart. Brad had made some comments about all the roadrunners we have out here on the street outside of Atlanta. We'll get into that and a whole lot more.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back-to-school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back-to-school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Look around. What do you see? Cars. Lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on AutoTrader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aroma-therapy-scented, disco ball-equipped self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on AutoTrader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day,
maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much. Brad Crawford covers all things SEC for CBS Sports and 24/7 Sports, and he came through and he dropped some knowledge. A couple of things that he said. Hickey, I'm upset about this one. It's inevitable that we get a further expansion one day, and I know it's going to happen, but of the college football playoff, why? I know why, but it becomes a joke at that point. You know, like, why are we playing, like, the bowl games? Like, why are we playing some of these bowl games? They don't matter. They're only playing the bowl games because of money. And now we're just going to let another 16, 24 teams into the college football playoff just because? It's a waste of time. This is not March Madness.
I've been someone who I welcome the 12. I would agree anything more than 12 does feel unnecessary. I have an idea, though, I want to throw it by you. I wonder if this maybe changes your tune a little bit. What if they go to 16, but in expanding to 16, every other bowl game is wiped out? So it's only, you know, once the regular season and the conference championship games end, the only other college football you see the rest of the year is the 16-team college football playoff. Does that change your opinion at all?
So get some of the bowl games out of here.
Get them all out. That's not a playoff game. They're all eliminated.
I don't think it's the same to me. Like, they become the back-end teams, and, yeah, you'll get an upset here or there, and, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. But most of the bowl games are glorified exhibitions anyway. Like, you have some of the best players that don't participate. Now, listen to this. Could you imagine we get to the expanded playoff, and then we got teams with superstars on the back end? Could you imagine if a guy says, I'm not playing in this? Like, now, like, so what do you do for the regular season? Now you got to lop off games at the end? Like, how do they even do that?
I mean, maybe if you have 16 teams, you get rid of conference championship games. Like, you get rid of maybe either a conference game or a non-conference game. You go to 11. I don't know. I mean, honestly, they're not going to cut any games. I think, you know. They're not taking money out of their pockets. They're just going to add it on to the players and say, hey, they're getting paid. They can afford to play another 2-3 games, however it may be.
You know what? For all of the controversy that we get at the end of the year, it doesn't matter if it's the current college football playoff, the one that's getting ready to start this season. It doesn't matter if we go back to the BCS. One of the cool things was that there was an exclusivity, and that there was some prestige into being selected or having the computer select you and move forward that way. It's like expanding the pool just takes away how special it is to actually get in. Like, I'm disappointed still that Georgia didn't make the playoff last year, because I felt that Georgia the Bulldogs deserved it. But even the fact that the game matters so much, that you know if you lose this game, you're cooked. And they did. And they were cooked. It doesn't matter. And it's just going to take so much juice out of the games when you let everybody in. Hickey, this sounds terrible, but this is like going to gym class, and it's just like everybody has to get picked. Everybody plays. And inclusion is awesome. We should have inclusion. But when you get to the upper levels of sport, like, we don't need some of the also-rans playing in here at the highest college level. It deadens it for me. All for money. What else is new, right?
But wouldn't you rather have, you know, the game or the champions figured out on the field instead of in a boardroom? Like you mentioned, the computers back in the day when you had the BCS, and they would, you know, determine who's in the national title game. We had a committee select four teams. And now, if you're a Florida State fan, I know you're upset about that. Like you said, Georgia, I think, probably had a really good chance of winning three in a row, honestly, if they made the playoff. Like, instead of having a computer or a group of people that really have, honestly, not a lot of knowledge when it comes to college football, deciding who's in, who's out, sure, you may get some blowouts and some teams that, you know, you don't want to see at, you know, seeds 10, 11, 12. But at least you can, don't you feel better that, hey, the champion is being determined on the field instead of in a boardroom by ADs?
That happens all year long and at the end.
Jeez.
That's it. That's it. I mean, I used that happened on the field. Like, Alabama beat Georgia on the field, and even though Georgia deserved to get in, they paid for it because they lost that one.
But, like, but Texas lost a game. Why didn't Texas get punished for losing a game and Georgia, you know, gets punished for losing a game? It's also, you know, like, I think Texas should have been in, but, like, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate of just, like,
touché.
You know, well, it's like you do look like you lose one game to still one of the best teams in the country and your chance to defend your crown is gone.
It
seems ridiculous.
I agree. Life isn't fair. But that's what I'm saying. Those games matter. Those games matter. I mean, yeah, it gets decided by, you know, I don't know who sits up there. Condoleezza Rice, right?
She was on the committee for a few, just, like, seriously.
But, of course, she knows football because she's, what did she get? A part owner of the Broncos, right? It's the Broncos?
Something like that.
Condoleezza Rice.
Interviewed by the Browns.
She's done a lot of talking about how much she knows about football. I'm not saying she doesn't, but I mean, damn. Take the decision-making out of the hands of Condoleezza Rice. I'd rather have them make the games matter before we get to the bowls as opposed to now just expanding the playoff. That's it. It's stupid. It's dumb. I can tell you right now, today, if they expand the playoff much more than it already is, which I agree with Brad who joined us, is inevitable, we're going to reach a point where I'm just going to flip around, man. I'm going to look at the scores, I'm going to laugh, and I'm going to say, oh, with this close, I'll turn this one on. But I'm not spending my time watching a bunch of losers play that I know have no chance of winning the championship. Not me. Let me know when the good teams get down to it. We don't need March Madness for college football in January. We don't. Anything for money, though. I get it. It's a business. Who cares what I think? They need to make money. It's the JR Sport Re-Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Speaking of money, Brandon Ayuk wants his money because it ain't coming from the Niners. And we had an idiot NBA player. He's going overseas to get his. I'll tell you who it is. The JR Sport Re-Show. Don't move.
Look around. What do you see? Cars. Lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on AutoTrader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on AutoTrader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
Master outdoor cooking this summer with the Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, the inspiring and practical new guide from Stephen Ranella, host of the Meat Eater podcast and television show. With over 100 recipes for meat, fish, poultry, and game birds, accompanied by lush photography and easy-to-follow tips, the Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook is the ultimate guide to open-air cooking. Whether you've hunted the ingredients yourself or forged them from the supermarket. Because food just tastes better when it's caught, cooked, and eaten outside. The Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook by Stephen Ranella is available now.
It's been a 3-year wait, but the Olympics are back, and the CBS Sports Podcast Network has you covered with everything happening in Paris. It's a new era for the U.S. women's national team, and Attacking Third will tackle all the women's soccer action. First Cut will keep close tabs on golf, while Beyond the Arc will follow the U.S. men's basketball team on a quest for another gold. And We Need to Talk Now will provide comprehensive coverage of women's athletes at the Olympic Games. Follow and listen to all CBS Sports Podcasts for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.